It's the Popmatic Podcast for June 4th, 2014. America isn't free for another 30 days. The Popmatic Podcast is where you can rock out with your library card out. There's nothing like a nerd party to make you feel awkward.
There and be square.
Joining me today are...
Greg.
Bill.
Amanda on the girls team.
Bye.
I'm Brian, and I kind of feel like I'm on the girls team too for some reason. I don't know.
We'll take you, Brian. We'll take you.
Enough about me. We are right in the middle of Summer Challenge, formerly Summer Reading, but I guess reading isn't cool anymore.
I like to read.
I like to read, too. Nerd party, like I said. So we're going to tell you all about the best things you can grok from the library to challenge yourself this summer. And stay tuned for a big announcement in the second half of the show.
Ooh. Dun,
dun. This is going to be the most...
What happened to Crystal?
Wait, where is Crystal?
This is going to be the most earth-changing, tickle-my-fancy segment in the history of the Popmatic Podcast. So what is Summer Challenge? It's where you can read and do other things at the library and earn prizes. And, you know, because studies show that, you know, your kids will turn into a bag of rocks if they don't read in
this
the summer.
This is true. This has been proven.
Very true.
And mm-hmm. But it's also for adults. There are adult prizes. And there's also things that adults can do. But what can you do, Greg?
You can register online for the summer challenge.
Bring in someone to sign up for a library card. This activity can be repeated.
Sign up for a library card.
Read or listen for 20 minutes.
Attend a library program.
Visit a Nashville community center.
Visit a museum.
Visit a park.
Create something. Write a poem.
Download a song from NPL's Freegle.
Stream something from NPL's Hoopla.
Can I help you? Help someone.
Request a book online.
Download an ebook.
Download an audiobook.
Check out a playaway.
Do a science activity.
Tell someone about the library.
Read to a friend.
Explore NPL's Mango Language Learning Lab.
Educate a prostitute on safe sex practices.
Wait, I missed that one.
Okay. Draw and paint a picture.
Write or tell a short story like Bill. Lost mic.
Tag hashtag library NPL summer on social media.
Connect with NPL on social media.
Don't mention prostitution on social media.
Make up your own activity.
Just like Bill did.
So those are the things that you can do. Maybe not what Bill said. Okay, but what prizes can adults earn? Every time you do something, you get points. And if you get 25 points, you can choose your own pass to local Nashville attractions, museums and whatnot. I don't want to name them all because we only have so much time here, right? With one, and then also 25 points gets you one entry into the grand prize drawing, a trip to Florida Dollywood. If you get 50 points, you get a book bag. And then one entry to the grand prize drawing, trip for four to Dollywood. And then also, if you love your library, and I hope you do if you are listening to this podcast, each branch has a goal. And if your branch reaches the goal, you get a end of summer party. Now, it's probably just for kids, but, you know, we all like kids, right?
I like pizza.
All right.
Party.
And if you love your library staff, the library staff might get the leftover pizza from the park.
Hugs and kisses. Go branches.
Hugs and kisses. Yeah. And, you know, I think loosely the theme for Summer Challenge this year is science. We're going to tell you about our favorite science-related books, movies, and music. And to start, Greg.
So I wanted to talk about some live culture at your library. And I'm not talking about books and movies and stuff. I mean yeast and bacteria cultures. So why do I want to talk about this? Well, on Saturday, June 21st, fermentation revivalist and rock star food writer Sandor Elix Katz is going to be at the downtown library to offer a free workshop on making your own fermented delicacies at home. Hold your excitement. Katz is kind of a big deal in the food world, and has been championed by the likes of Michael Pollan and is credited with bringing home fermentation to a wide audience. He gets pretty jazzed up about the stuff in his writings, and his books have a way of making disciples out of people. Now, I think when I say fermentation, a lot of people's minds probably jump to things like beer and wine, and rightly so. And indeed, this is why I picked up his books initially, too. I'm a home brewer, and a lot of the underlying principles are the same. But fermentation is a vital process in a lot of the foods we eat, too. Actually, fermentation is involved in many of the foods we eat as a culture and consider gourmet, like beer and wine, but also most breads and cheeses, and a whole lot of foreign delicacies like kimchi, kraut, miso, natto, on and on. So there's a lot of complex and delicious and sometimes pungent flavors that are produced in the fermentation process that can be produced in a, it cannot be produced in any other way. And that's part of what sets fermentation apart from things like canning and pickling. Fermented foods are literally living foods. This all relates to summer learning and the tentative science theme, because fermenting is one of the easiest science experiments we can do at home, literally just by leaving a jar of cabbage and water in your kitchen counter. And I think this all is in keeping with the science coming out these days about the importance of the human microbiome and the culture of Purell and how that's actually hurting us more than helping. There's a lot of evidence that eating a variety of live culture foods is extremely beneficial to our health. You can read all about these benefits and more in books like Wild Fermentation, which is widely regarded as the Bible on fermentation, though it's basically a cookbook, and The Art of Fermentation, which covers the subject more broadly. Both books are by Mr. Katz, and they're both at your library. And you can come to the workshop on June 21st and ask him all kinds of scintillating questions. For a full DIY experience, I recommend you get some seeds from your seed library pilot program and throw them in the ground. And after your bountiful harvest, you should preserve your veggies as delicious ferments with recipes you learn at the lab.
Well, speaking of science, I'm recommending a book and a DVD. The book is not science fiction, but sad, nice, scary science. It's called The Hot Zone by Richard Preston. It tells a mutated form of Ebola virus found itself not 15 miles away from Washington, D.C. The book is always engrossing and extremely chilling. The description of what the Ebola virus does to the human body is pure horror show. So don't eat gumbo before you read this book. Stephen King stated that The Hot Zone was one of the most horrifying things he had ever read. Let's say you read The Hot Zone, I'd also recommend The Demon in the Freezer by Mr. Preston, and he also finished Michael Crichton's last book, Micro. Both good books. I've always enjoyed them. Now, I know what you're saying, Bill, I really don't want to read anything like that. Well, let me recommend a fun DVD, a movie that came out in 1985 called Real Genius, directed by Martha Coolidge and starring Val Kilmer, a sharply satirical film about a Caltech type of technical university. The best way to state it, it's like the Marx Brothers meets War Games. I highly recommend it, and it shall put a smile on your face. Amanda?
I like War Games.
Real Genius is great.
There are several branches of science that we could talk about. I'm going to talk about botany, which is not something that I know a lot about. I kind of have a black thumb.
Summer challenge.
I know, right? So I'm learning as I'm reading. But it's kind of appropriate, since I do have a black thumb, that the book I'm going to talk about is called Wicked Plants. It's by Amy Stewart. It is all about plants that will kill you or maybe eat you. So not every plant. So these are plants that grow. I mean, everybody thinks that nature's good. There's this whole, like, go back to eating raw and, you know, all these trends. But people need to be careful, because you can't just go out into the forest and start eating things, because some things will kill you. So I have five fun facts to help you through your foraging in the forest before you go to the fermentation class. The first one is, did you know that the potato is related to deadly nightshade? And they're both in the same family as the habanero chili, which, if you think about, makes sense, because habanero chilies are very spicy and rowdy, and they have to be cooked properly. So, and also, I think it's funny that potatoes are fine once you cook them. It's when you eat them raw, when I was growing up, my grandfather always ate potatoes raw. Like, whenever my grandma was making, he'd come in with, like, half potatoes and just put a little salt on it and just go to it. So he probably had a decent tolerance to deadly nightshade. Famous fact number two, eating a lot of celery makes you more susceptible to sunburn, because celery is what's called phototoxic. It makes you more susceptible to the sun rays. So if you're at the beach, I probably wouldn't take celery and peanut butter for a snack. Maybe wait until later for that. Fun fact number three, elderberries raw contain cyanide. So if you think about the insult of Monty Python where your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries, that's actually more of an insult than you think it would be if you realize that elderberries have cyanide in them.
Your father's a murderer.
Okay. I was thinking your father ate elderberries and was dead and rotting therefore smelled foul.
Oh, see, I didn't even go that far. I thought elderberries were like strawberries and you could just skip down the forest path holding hands, but...
Elderberry jelly or something, or jam. Or
I think, again, if you cook them, if you cook them down, then they're delightful.
And you can ferment them too, because I've used them in beer before.
Okay, so see, Greg has safely used elderberries. So, fun fact number four, burdock burrs were the inspiration for Velcro. Won't necessarily kill you, but might annoy you for a while should you walk through a patch of them.
Summer challenge. It says make up your own.
That's true. Get the burdock burrs out of your pants. Yay, go. And the last fun fact actually relates to a movie. In 1961, residents in Santa Cruz, California, awoke to the sound of birds slamming against their houses. And so this is night. They rush outside and find dead birds everywhere. And then the birds that aren't dead are so disoriented that they, like, dive bomb the people that have the flashlights because of the light. So they're, like, you know, falling out of the sky on these people. And scientists figured out that this was actually because of a bloom of toxic algae that, like, infected the anchovies that these birds have eaten. So, they were just poisoned and they were basically high and flying around. And so the story actually got Alfred Hitchcock's attention, and he had thought about doing a film on Du Maurier's The Birds, the story. And then after this real-life incident happened, he's like, oh, I gotta make that into a movie. So that's how The Birds came, the movie came about, because of... algae.
Trippin' birds.
Trippin' birds, man.
Yeah.
And I'm trippin' birds.
Hey, man, let's go fly south this winter. Let's go north.
So if you want to learn more about trippin' birds and other delightful plants, that was Wicked Plants by Amy Stewart. She also has one called, a new one out called The Drunken Botanist, which may relate more to kind of what Greg was talking. I haven't read that one, but it's more about plants that you use in like mixed drinks. I don't think it's about fermentation. I think it's more like plants that you use in mixed drinks and what you use in, to flavor. Mm-hmm. Fermented things.
Cool.
I'm going to go traipse along the brain. Yes. My book this week is Phantoms in the Brain by V.S. Ramachandran. I got this book like ages ago. I watched an episode of Nova when I was in college, and this is like the only time I've ever watched a documentary. I was like, I got to buy this guy's book. This guy's awesome. It's basically kind of like he uses brain injuries just to see like where bits of like how the brain works and, you know, which bits of the brain do what and stuff. And, there are a couple of, like, little factoids that I still remember from, you know, whatever, 10 years ago. Like, there's a person who could do, like, three types of basic mathematics, but he couldn't do, like, a fourth one. Like, so he couldn't, you know, he could add, subtract, and divide, but he couldn't multiply. You know, what's 1 times 1?
47.
you know, he just, like, stared at him blankly. Or there was a woman who would hallucinate and see, like, elves and stuff, but she knew that they weren't there. And so she'd go see the doctor and go, like, I think I'm going crazy. And that's, you know, one of those, if you're going crazy, you don't really notice normally. And I think this is the book I read where they're saying that Brian's favorite author, Philip K. Dick, had a minor stroke in part of his brain that they think has to deal with, like, belief in a higher power. Because he had this, like, compulsion late in life to write down lots of books about God and the afterlife and philosophy. And it was very weird. I didn't read those. At least the ones that they published.
So I've read them all. It's fascinating.
Yeah. See? All right. And I saw that he's written a book recently in 2011 called The Telltale Brain, which sounds like an update because Phantoms in the Brain came out, I believe, in 1998. So the things that, like, you know, may have come up since then. So what's on your mind?
If anyone wanted to read those writings by Philip K. Dick, they were never published for years and years, but now they have been edited and published as the exegesis of Philip K. Dick. And he did feel like for an extended period of time, he was in direct communication with a divine intelligence. A lot of people said, well, maybe your brain was just busted there. Mr. Science fiction author, you're tripping like them birds. all right. So I was going to talk about Raspberry Pi. Crystal isn't here. No, Raspberry Pi, the miniature computer. What is it? It's a tiny wee little computer the size of a card, but it is like an actual computer. You can do whatever you can do with a normal computer, you know, with it. If you yourself know how to code, or if you're a teenager or a elementary school student that knows how to code, if you've ever seen, like, these children have amazing science projects, like I auto-programmed a super soaker to squirt the squirrels on my parents' bird feeder. I mean, they probably did it with a Raspberry Pi. You can create a BitTorrent server to help people share files without it clogging up the internet. You can create a Tor node if you want to help people be anonymous on the internet. The other thing you can kind of do, a really awesome summer challenge, is you can actually build a case for it. Like, you know, so it's like, what can you build the case out of? Whatever you want. Paper, Legos, you can 3D print a case. It's a good time.
So is the computer already formed, or do you have to build a computer from scratch?
The computer is already formed, but it's just like, it just looks like a motherboard the size of a credit card.
Okay. It's like a blank slate, basically. You can do it like.
Well, you know, its hardware specs is probably that of a netbook from a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it probably has the same hardware specs as a Roku in it. I know that I took mine and I turned it into a home media center because I don't know how to program, and it was really extremely easy to do, and it actually worked far better than the over-the-counter generic media center that I had bought for my television.
Mm-hmm. Which will remain anonymous. You're not going
to... No, I'm not going to say. Part of that reason is that you get to install the operating system that you want on it. So, like, for me, I chose this version of Linux called OpenALEC. That's just basically a computer operating system designed just to be like a media center for your house. And then you install the app on your phone. And then your phone is your remote controller. So, and then, of course, your remote controller also has like a built-in keyboard. So you also have internet access and can install apps and everything except homebrew, totally DIY. If you're like, geez Louise, what the heck are you going to do with this? There's this book, Teach Yourself Visually, Raspberry Pi, for like how to do it. And one of the things I felt the book was really good at was actually explaining people how to install Linux on another device if you've never done that before. And some people really have a lot of trouble with that. So the book was Teach Yourself Visually Raspberry Pi by Richard Wendt. And I just want to give a shout out to the Teach Yourself Visually books, because I kind of feel like they're like the redheaded stepchild of all like the Four Dummies style books. But all the ones I've ever picked up are excellent and actually are really good. I think some of the other books in sort of that genre rely on their brand name. And then you actually get the book, and it's just pages and pages of text, and it's like, this is not very helpful. The Teach Yourself Visually books actually try to do that as much as you can. And they're like...
Yeah, they have bright, big, colorful pictures, you know, it's very...
Yeah.
Which I like, and they're all in color, and they all, you know...
What else can you teach yourself visually?
Well, honestly, I have the weightlifting one.
And what? I thought they were all like computer stuff.
And it's great. Though most of the ones that the library has are popular computer stuff. So iPad, iPhone, Microsoft Office Suite, that kind of thing.
But it doesn't really get into coding or anything like that. It's all like user oriented.
I don't have the memorized what the library. At some point, you know, the teacher, some pursuits are complex enough that the teach yourself visually is not going to work.
That's what I was wondering. What are the limits of teach yourself visually?
Yeah, exactly.
String theory. The big flaw.
See, I see some parallels between what you're talking about and what I'm talking about. Oddly enough.
Okay.
It's both like DIY culture, right? Like we all eat food, but we don't know how it's grown. We don't know how it's made.
Some of us don't know how it's grown.
Not all, yes. So, yeah. Or we all have computers, but we don't know like necessarily how they work. And so the idea, I think, of the Raspberry Pi is it simplifies it so that it sort of makes it easier.
So this is what is tickling my fancy this week. Notice what I said. Not this month. This week. And did you notice that I had a specific date in the intro?
You did.
That's because the Popmatic podcast is going weekly.
Oh my God! Gotta start reading.
I had no idea.
Now, if you're closely paying attention, we'll be posting on Wednesdays. So keep an eye on that once a week. We're doing this because we're crazy.
That's not wrong.
That's pretty much why. You might have noticed that Clint hasn't been around. You also might have noticed that the podcast sound crappier. So I said, hey, audio engineer, we're going to go once a week. And he said, good luck, buddy.
I'm out of here.
Got it.
Yeah, he said.
A Clint-shaped dust cloud. Yeah,
exactly.
Going on break.
You hear that noise? That was his truck driving off. So we're going to try this for a while. We're going to take a break in July and kind of evaluate, but hopefully it'll go okay. Besides just, you know, gearing up for this, I just want to give some shout-outs to some cool stuff that happened here on the podcast. In November 2013 episode, Amanda talked about Graham Simonson's The Rosie Pot Project.
Yes, I did.
4 months later, that's on every bestseller list, right? Totally ahead of the curve on that, okay?
That's what we do for you here.
January's our Best of the Year show, Bill talked about the show called Orphan Black. He was like, you got to check this out. I just checked it out. Now that's like the hottest show in the universe, right? Maybe Earth. I don't know. So, and then, okay, even better, same show. Mike picked as his best novel of the year Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie, which just won the Nebula Award for best novel.
We're psychic.
So if you want to know what's good, what's cool, what's happening, besides fanfare, and of course my grumpiness take my grumpiness out, right? You should listen to the Popmatic podcast now once a week.
Oh my God! Wait, once a week?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Weekly.
It's every 7 days.
Every Wednesday. You don't have to worry about
it. Now you will.
Like oh, Wednesday. Good. Now you will now like I have Wednesdays. A reason for Wednesday.
Because we'll put you an hour behind on your work Wednesday that you come and record.
Score!
All right. That's all I got.
Getting back to the summer learning theme, which we don't have to harp on this too much, but I wanted to talk about some games that could qualify as game-based learning. So I went over to my friend's house a little while ago, and he had this brand new game called Guitar Smith. If anybody is familiar with the Guitar Hero, you know that you don't actually learn how to play guitar. Guitar Hero.
But I got to play as Lemmy from Motorhead, so that was enough for me.
Yes. It doesn't mean it's not awesome. But with Guitar Smith, it's basically the same idea, but you just plug your guitar directly into this USB converter. It plugs into your Xbox 360 or your PS3. Or I think they have it for Windows now, too. Maybe they have it for Linux as well. I don't know. But it's awesome. It's basically designed the same way. So, like, you're moving. Has anybody here played Guitar Hero? You said you had.
I have.
So
Rock like, Band. I played one of those.
Yeah.
Two. I don't remember.
So you're moving forward through time on the fretboard, you know, and it's telling you where to put your fingers. It's basically the same idea, but you actually learn how to play guitar, and, like, a lot of music studio guitar places are actually using this as a way to teach people. So it's pretty awesome. So
what's tickling your fancy, Bill?
Tickling my fancy, I found this great new network on my Comcast channel. It's 120. You can go to the website of this particular network, and the network is called the El Rey Network. How do I describe the El Rey Network? Well, according to the website, it's a white-knuckled suicide leap into a chum bucket filled with sex and gore that will have you screaming. It's Robert Rodriguez's network of El Mariachi and Sin City fame, and you can watch kung fu flicks, cult horror, grindhouse, bullets and brawlers, and badass TV. This, according to the website. I, of course, truly enjoyed it. Like last night, I turned on and there was John Carpenter, an hour-long interview with him. And then they showed one of his early movies, Assault on Precinct 13. When I'm home on the afternoon, they show, which are kind of fun, Starsky and Hutch reruns, along with a little-known show called Dark Angel and old X-Files reruns. And it's just a great little network, and so give it a chance. It's the El Rey Network. Like I said, on my channel, it's 120, whatever cable server. Just go to the website. You can type in El Rey Network and find out where you can view it. Amanda.
I might pass on that.
I kind of figured you
not
would.
Not going to lie.
Sounds pretty
amazing. You lost me at Chum Bucket.
There's two words in it.
Yeah, you know.
Summer challenge. Watch TV you don't like.
Dang it.
Oh, no.
I need the points, too. Okay. So, summertime it gets hot, right? And so what do you do when it gets hot? You need to drink water. But I'm very tired of drinking boring plain water. So I've been experimenting with different combinations of flavorings for water. And I don't want to do a lot of sugar, caffeine, because I'm trying to not do sugar and caffeine. So I don't know if I found it on Pinterest or where I found it, but there were things about like detox waters and all these things, but that kind of got me thinking. And so I've experimented with putting different kinds of fruit in water, and I have a big jar that you can just put them in, kind of like the fermenting world, but you put it in the fridge so it doesn't ferment. So my favorite so far has been kiwi strawberry. So you just buy a kiwi and you buy some strawberries, and this is a good time of year for strawberries too. This is when they're in season. And so take the lettuce off the top of the strawberries, as my nieces call it, and make sure you wash them. And then you also need to peel the kiwis, and then you slice everybody up, and you put it in your jar and fill it up with water and let it sit for at least 24 hours and shake it a couple of times. And it's just delightful. It's very refreshing. The other one I've had really good luck with was blueberry and lemons. It's kind of like blueberry lemonade, but again, without the sugar. But I don't really miss sugar. So I encourage you, and this is also part of the summer challenge, to make up your own activity. So play with it. Drink a lot of water. Be hydrated. Be safe and be yummy.
So, this past weekend, I went over to my grandparents' house in Smithville, Tennessee. And there was a lot of downtime because they live in the country. And they got rid of their cable.
They don't got cable or nothing. You know,
and they just got Wi-Fi, but they wouldn't tell me the password. So, I spent...
Go, Grandma.
So, I spent a lot of time trying to catch up with my huge backlog of reading materials. And so, I thought I'd say some of the... I have a comic book extravaganza of the three graphic novels that I enjoyed the most this past weekend. The first one is called Saga. I read volume 3, and it's really cool. It's this kind of like Romeo and Juliet story involving these two aliens. One has like these horns, and another one has these itty bitty wings. They're like both soldiers and rival armies that like span the galaxy or something, and they fall in love and have a kid. But their respective races like don't really. They're totally grossed out by this, and they send these like bounty hunters out to kill them. And it's really good. And, you know, you kind of feel for these, like, you know, adorable aliens who just, you know, want to be left alone. And I also like that it's really weird, which, you know, is, of course, why I like it. Like, one of the bounty hunters is Prince Robot the Fourth, and he's got, like, a television for a head. And he's, like, decked out in, like, 19th century, like, Russian military garb. And every now and then when he gets really mad, like, the screen on his TV will show, like, some, like, violent image. And, next thing is Thief of Thieves, about this professional thief named Redmond, who's like, you know, planning heists and that kind of thing. And his son, who looks almost exactly like him, so like whenever they show his son, I get confused momentarily, gets captured. He has to like, you know, do this heist to save him. And it's by Robert Kirkman, the guy who did The Walking Dead, which I'm one of like two people in the known world who don't like that.
I don't like that.
Excellent. Yeah, we can form a club.
Yes, we can.
And I was surprised that, like, stuff happens that's interesting. So, kudos. It starts off kind of slow. Like, the first trade is, like, kind of like meh. But, like, I got, like, the latest one, which is called Venice, which is, like, one book-long heist. It is cool. You try this down. It's cool. And the last one that I'll mention is called, I believe it's pronounced Rassel, R-A-S-L. This is kind of, like, sci-fi slash noir deal. Where, like, this guy uses Tesla technology to go to parallel universes to steal art and fence them in, like, our universe. And he gets caught up with, like, you know, this government conspiracy. And it's really drawn well, and it's really cool. And it's got these, like, twists and turns and stuff. And it really does, like, read like a noir. But every now and then they'll do diversions to teach you about, like, you know, Tesla and Einstein and, like, you know, early 20th century science. And it's written by Jeff Smith, the guy who did Bone, which if you haven't read it, you should. It's like, you know, sure it's for kids, but like, you know, at first it's like this kiddie thing and then it becomes this like epic fantasy.
For more information, visit www.library.nashville.org.
And our theme music was by Adam Dean.
You don't say. Oh, yes. And give us lots of love on iTunes.
5 stars on iTunes makes us library superstars.
Bill are weightlifting with that Teach Yourself Visually weightlifting book.
There you go. So you need to hydrate with water.
I thought they'd get a better laugh. I had this whole routine worked up that would be it would be like me and Bill in his garage, like Kevin Spacey and that kid in American Beauty. We're just hanging out, relaxing, lifting weights, talking about movies. And then we're like, yeah, we made this up. Points for Summer Challenge. Anyway.